Welcome to the Master Builders Podcast, the podcast where we discuss issues affecting the building industry. It's the podcast by Master Builders for Master Builders. I'm your guest host, Danita Warren, CEO of Master Builders Australia, and today's podcast is a special edition for International Women's Day. Women bring a variety of benefits to industry across workplace culture, diversity, depth of talent and skills, and are an important part in addressing labour shortages. In fact, the Federal Minister for Skills and Training said this week that the jobs where there is the greatest shortage are those with the greatest gender imbalance. We have estimated that we need an additional 475,000 workers to enter the industry by 2026. It's a good reminder that all of us in the industry need to work harder to employ more women to improve the sustainability of the industry. So today in this Master Builders podcast, we ask the question, how can the increased participation of women positively impact on the viability and sustainability of the building and construction industry? We have three podcast guests with us today. Grace Ferreira is the Director of Master Builders Australia and former President of Master Builders ACT, and the first female to be nominated as a director to the National Master Builders Organisation. She is co-founder of Canberra-based Pacific Formwork and Precast Projects. Michael Foreman has 20 years' experience in the building and construction industry, manager engineering in the Florey Connections Alliance and Port Wakefield to Port Augusta Alliance. He's an active member of the Australian Institute of Building, a lecturer to South Australian University students in construction subjects, and a mentor in our Women Building Australia program. Beck Bishop is the co-founder of Elite Building Services Proprietary Limited, a custom home builder in southeast Victoria and Gippsland, with over 18 years' experience in the industry and also a lawyer by trade. Beck is elected member of the MBV Housing Sector Committee from 2021 and is also a mentor in the Women Building Australia Mentoring Program. I'm your guest host, Danita Warren, CEO of Master Builders Australia, and today's podcast is a special edition for International Women's Day. I want to ask a first question, and Grace, go to you first. What do you see are the benefits of greater female participation in the industry? We talk a lot about labour shortages, but are there other attributes that we think we could really benefit from with greater female participation?
Yes, I think we can. There's a lot of, I think women bring a lot of attention to detail, probably a bit more than most, and I'm generalising here, so... women also bring a different point of view to things, and sometimes bringing women onto a job site or into our industry can show us different ways of doing things, and we tend to look at things differently. We're also generally good at multitasking. So
I'd agree with you on that. Michael, you're 18 years in the industry. You would have seen a significant change in the diversity of our workforce. What have you seen from your experience when we've seen that increase in female participation?
Yeah, good question. I think it's obviously an awareness that there are more than just the typical males that can do the work. There's obviously a... As Grace said, women look at things a bit differently, maybe a little bit closer attention to detail potentially. And it also gives you a different a mindset as well. Women tend to be calming sometimes too, and men tend to get a little bit fired up quickly. But no, I think my current construction site, we have about 25% women, and it's a good mix. We could certainly have more. And I think it's also good to have... you know, awareness of what each sex can bring to a project, you know, like males and females bring different things. So I think it's good to have as many as we can.
Thanks, Michael. Beck, you're in a unique position as leading your business, a custom home builder, but you've also got a law degree. One of the interesting things that we find is that there's a perception that there are only certain types of jobs in the industry, and there's a breadth of them. How have you seen female participation change in your time in the industry and in the different types of jobs that we have available in the sector?
I've seen a lot of change. I've seen a lot of different roles as well. Like I've seen, you know, wives who help out their husbands, and then they also emerge to do so much more than just the bookkeeping and administrative tasks. I know a lot of tradeswomen. I have been on the tools myself from time to time, not very much, but I do things around the home. And if there's things that need to be done on site, I'll help out where I can. And I have amazing friends who are women in trade, and I absolutely adore them. I also have a lot of connections with the women in the industry who are at an executive level. So, you know, we've chair people, and there's so many of us now across all breadths of the industry. So architects, engineers, I've connected with a lot of women across all sectors of the industry, from stonemasonry, engineering, architecture, executive level women. It's so wonderful to see, and I've watched that from my own beginnings. As I started by doing my husband's payroll and by doing his quoting when he was a plasterer, to now being the co-founder of the business and working at the level that I do with master builders and other industry bodies. And there's so many opportunities available for women.
Michael, you indicated that you've got 25% of your workforce are women. There's a story that came out of the mining industry when they were first encouraging women to work, particularly as truck drivers, that it reduced the cost of maintenance on the equipment because women were far gentler on machinery than the blokes. Are you seeing similar style of productivity benefits for women working in the industry than you perhaps would have otherwise seen?
The 25% that work on my project, they're typically either middle or senior engineering type based roles. We don't have a lot of ladies working on site, but we do have some ladies doing site based roles. But I think productivity, obviously, both a man and a woman, we're all people at the end of the day. We can do the same thing. Like being a lady doesn't stop you doing anything. So I think productivity is good. We don't seem to have any issues with ladies not doing what they're meant to do and that. So no, I don't think it's an issue at all.
Welcome to the Master Builders Podcast, the podcast where we discuss issues affecting the building industry. The podcast by Master Builders for Master Builders. Yeah, it's a good point, Michael, that we shouldn't be actually looking at this about gender and what blokes can do versus the women. It's actually encouraging the best person for the job, regardless of their gender. And it's really, we're trying to sell the message that everyone is welcome in the industry, despite the fact that we've got so many men working in the industry at the moment. We've talked about there's great benefits and to meet skill shortages and the different cultural aspects of women in the industry. But we do know that there are barriers that need to be addressed to increase female participation. Beck, from your perspective, what do you think are the key barriers that we need to start tackling?
Well, obviously there's cultural barriers that makes women feel like they're outsiders, and companies can adapt to zero tolerance for harassment, bullying and silencing of women. I think that it's clear that employers are obligated to provide a safe work environment free from these types of behaviours. Otherwise, they're in contravention of the OH&S legislation and regulations anyway. And on the same OH&S provisions actually quash that perception that women can't do these jobs because they're physically demanding. In most cases, if something's unsafe for a woman to lift or whatnot, it's generally unsafe for a man as well. And there's obviously another way to do it. So innovation and technology is playing a huge part in reducing the physical demand on site. I also think there's a lack of awareness and opportunity to experience a variety of trades before they can commit to an apprenticeship. And career pathways in schools are generally directed toward the male population, but girls need to know that it is also a possibility for them to consider construction as a career as well.
That's a great comment, Beck, and that's a good time for me to make a plug for the Women Building Australia Career Expos. We go around the country to about 10 to 15 career expos each year, loud and proud about Women Building Australia, and certainly that will continue for 2023. Grace, you run a formwork business that is probably one of the more parts of the industry that people think are very male dominated, yet you're the boss. You know, how have you seen things change in your time running your business, and how that could therefore be able to get more women into the industry? What barriers have you seen potentially come through that you've seen reduced in the industry, in your sector in particular?
Well, in our sector, there's a lot of heavy lifting. But again, picking up on what Beck said, the materials, the technology has changed in these years. So, you know, back when we started, a frame would be about 60 kilos. Even men were hard-pressed to pick that up. Now the heaviest piece of equipment that they have to lift would be about 20 kilos. So the average size of a child, you know. So women can pick up kids, they can pick that up. And, you know, these days a lot of things have changed. Again, there's better access to toilets as well on site. Like now there's male and female toilets. It's the barrier that I see is still probably parents and kids knowing about the opportunities. Because if you think of construction, people think, oh yeah, I've got to be, you know, Bob the Builder or something like that. They don't show the array of skills that can be used in construction, from design to engineering to, you know, being on the tools. But there's so much that I think we need to be promoting our industry better, and we need to be talking to parents and to getting into, I'd say, at primary level, and telling the girls and the boys that this is a great industry, that you can be doing lots of wonderful things. And one of the things when I talk to apprentices about is this skill, the skills that they learn in a trade, especially, they can take all over the world. They can go and work on movie sets. They can go and work on building sites, on bridges, on so many things. As you say, I'm a formwork company. We specialise in commercial. But we just had our 25th anniversary, and I went through the list of buildings that we've done or projects. And we have everything from an elephant maternity ward in Dubbo to tunnels in Brisbane to, you know, the most amazing airport hangars. You're not confined to one type of thing. And I think it's how we can promote the industry better.
Promoting the opportunity.
The opportunity, that's right.
Yeah. Michael, from your perspective, you've said that you've got 25% female participation in your business at the moment. What do you think of the, in reflecting on that change, what do you think are the barriers that you've dismantled to achieve that 25%?
I'd say having an appealing place to go to work, having females or women in the management team of the project. We've got two very strong women in our management team rather than all men, which is great. So those two women on the management team have a big pull with bringing young ladies in and young women into our project. We've also made it a cohesive workplace where we have a big open plan office and everyone sits together. We don't have separate rooms or separate division areas. Like, everyone can hear what's going on, which sort of breaks down some barriers as such. We also have regular team meetings, getting feedback. We offer heaps of training and development to everyone on the project. We also have an internal mentoring program as well. I'm the lead mentor of that program, and we've got other people providing mentoring. So we basically just make it a place where women want to come to work. We also go into universities and pitch our project and pitch our company to young up and coming professionals. We also do a little bit of school work where we go to local schools and colleges and talk about the industry and what it can offer you. We do field field days where we bring school students along and get them to wear hard hats and vests and point out things that we're doing. So we're sort of doing like a whole turnkey of where from young to you know, about to graduate students where you can go. So I think that's how we've broken down the barriers and just made it an appealing place for everyone to work rather than the sex as such. It's a good project for everyone to work on.
That's amazing.
I was just about to say that, Beck. That sounds like just great HR management, as opposed to the, as you've said, Michael, it's good for everyone, not just about attracting women. And maybe that's a lesson learnt for all of us that we've really got to focus on that great HR management and just to attract the best talent regardless of gender.
Yeah, and there's that saying of creating a glass ceiling. Well, my opinion is that you create that ceiling yourself by putting preconceived ideas into your head that you can't achieve that goal. Well, you can. There's nothing stopping anyone achieving their goals, whether they're a man or a woman, or it doesn't matter what background you're from or your history, you can achieve anything you want to achieve. And the right company will take you on board and develop and grow you and make sure you achieve those goals. You know?
I think we're all madly nodding here, listeners. You can't see us madly nodding, but we are. And certainly that is a reminder that whenever people are looking for a new employer, that it's not just about the employer checking you out, but you checking out the employer and doing your own due diligence to make sure that you feel comfortable in working for that business as much as they feel uncomfortable about you working for the business. So really good reminder there, Michael. Welcome to the Master Builders Podcast, the podcast where we discuss issues affecting the building industry. The podcast by Master Builders for Master Builders. I'm your guest host, Danita Warren, CEO of Master Builders Australia, and today's podcast is a special edition for International Women's Day. Grace, I was just going to ask about enterprise agreements and industrial awards and patterns of work. We historically in this industry have quite strict patterns of work with not a massive amount of flexibility, although we're seeing some changes there. Do you think at the way in which we work has been a barrier for women, particularly those looking for more flexible working hours?
Definitely. The enterprise agreements don't allow the flexibility that women need if they've got aging parents, school-aged kids, whatever, children. It doesn't allow because it's very strict, you know, 7 till 3:30. Sometimes there's a little bit of leeway, but you can't get someone starting at, say, 9 and picking up, finishing at 2 because the cost for the employer is prohibitive to be able to do something like that. And if we want to attract more women to the industry, we definitely need to be flexible. And one thing that's always surprised me is in this day and age where we're always talking about more flexible workplaces, you know, the ability to work from home, the ability to work the hours you choose, whatever, our industry has not moved in that space. Mm. And if we want to attract women, if only we had that opportunity for them to work between 3 and 6, between 9 and 2, whatever times, we would get a lot more women participating, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Grace, and certainly some of the work that we're doing at Master Builders Australia is looking at how we can promote more flexible patterns of work, because coming back to Michael's theme, it's not only good for encouraging women into the industry, but also it's good for males as well if they want to particularly play a greater role in parenting with their children. So, but also just general flexibility, I think, is important, that people are wanting greater flexibility, but particularly women who don't want to work necessarily full-time do need that greater flexibility to enter into the industry. So thank you for that insight. We've talked a lot today about mentoring program, and we're very proud that Women Building Australia program does do mentoring, and I know Michael and Beck have been involved in that. What Beck, have you got the greatest enjoyment and level of what have you learnt from that mentoring role that you've seen in I think it was last year in your mentoring?
It was such an incredible experience. I was paired up with a young woman in Queensland. She worked in civil construction. And at first I was a bit unsure if I'd be able to even help her because we were from such different sectors. I got to know her and we actually had a lot in common. We're both lawyers and she originates from South America and I was learning Spanish. So it was quite funny that we were paired up. And I quickly learned that the reality is that women in construction generally experience the same challenges. And I wanted her to understand that she was just not alone with her concerns because we all struggle with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, the ability to find our voice and self-confidence. It was amazing to be able to help her with some strategies and tools to learn to overcome those challenges, which of course is an ongoing thing because we never stop learning. And I nominated her for Mentee of the Year and she won, which was just exceptional. Being a mentor helped me learn and grow as well. I learned some new skills, often to be quiet and just allow her to solve her own problems rather than jumping in with solutions, but also giving guidance to enable her to work it out for herself. I love helping people develop. So to be able to literally watch someone grow in front of me and work out solutions to their own challenges was absolutely awesome. Yeah, so I recommend that program to all women in construction. If you want to build your network, feel less alone, develop better communication skills, work on yourself, feel more confident and have some new connections and maybe even make some new friends.
Michael, you're also a mentor in the Women Building Australia program. What's your insights into that?
Yeah, I've been in the Women Building Australia mentoring program now for 3 years. A couple of years ago, I was matched with a lady who was a mum of two young kids, high achieving person, operations manager in her company, and had so many hats to her life. She wore so many hats every day, and I'm like wondering how she actually achieved anything with the amount of work she had to do. So, but working with her and giving her some tips on how to look after a couple of difficult supervisors at her company and helping her break down a bit of a work-life balance and giving her more time in the day and seeing her smile at the end of the program was great. Mentoring is a fantastic thing. It's a give-give and a win-win type of relationship. You both give into the relationship and you both get something out of it at the end. And I learned a lot about myself too as a person and a leader, and on our lead, I have 12 people in my team, which I look after, but having that mentoring relationship was absolutely fantastic. And when I did it for the first time, I was mentoring a lady with Indigenous heritage, and I really enjoyed seeing her grow and develop and become the safety supervisor on a 32-story building in Adelaide. And just seeing her grow and develop was absolutely fantastic. So like Beck said, I'd recommend mentoring to anyone. You'll get a lot out of it and it doesn't take much of your time. I think humans, we all have a responsibility to give back to people who are learning and developing and growing. We all do. That's just the cycle of life. You know, you get older, you learn, you experience and you develop. And we all have an obligation to pass that down and pay it forward, so to speak. So that's the big thing about who I am. And I've really enjoyed mentoring and I'll keep doing it. So.
Grace, I'm going to take a little bit of different tact with you. The first of in leadership roles in Master Builders Australia and also Master Builders ACT. So you lead by example. How do you hope that what you've forged in your career, both at work but also within the Master Builders movement, will encourage more women to participate, not in the industry but actually in our industry organisations, including MBA?
Whenever I talk to other women outside, they think that Master Builders was a boys' club and that it wasn't really for women. And so one of the proudest things that I've helped set up in the ACT is the women in construction with Master Builders, to try and bring them along to events within Master Builders so that they know that there is room for them. I'm really proud of that. And we've now got I think our last event, we had like 200 women at our women's lunch last year. 200 women come and our events are really well patronised with women and some men too, because you know, we are all part of this group, and working collectively makes wonders.
Welcome to the Master Builders Podcast, the podcast where we discuss issues affecting the building industry. The podcast by Master Builders for Master Builders. I'm keen for your individual views on what you think are the next key steps on encouraging women into the industry, say for the next 5 years. Michael, what's next for you? You're already hitting 25%. What do you think you need to do to increase that even further over the next 5 years?
Thank you, Danita. I think our project's been lucky where we've got that 25%, but I think as a company as a whole, we may be a little bit lower than that. But I think just broadly with the industry, I think there's a lot more work that needs to probably be done at school level to show that young students, maybe in year 8 or year 9, that there are careers available in construction. Maybe more trade days where maybe a schooling subject is engineering and construction, where they get industry experts in an industry, people in to physically talk to students at schools. More advertising potentially would help. More government programs. Expanding the network of trade schools in Adelaide would certainly help. Making it much easier for businesses to employ apprentices. But I think it's also people within the industry, like the four of us here today, like we also have a role. Beck's doing some great work, and yourself and Grace are as well. And it's just about pushing the employment opportunities and the industry onto women to say that you can join us, we'll welcome you openly. There's all these roles that you can do. It's a much more cohesive industry now. We're all in this together. It's not just men, it's women as well. I speak to some school students and they still don't know that ladies can be a carpenter or ladies can be an electrician. They still don't know they can do that. So it's got to be pushed on by everyone to get those numbers up again. And someone in government, like a senior person in government, needs to really say, like, you know, these are the jobs available, these are the wages that they pay, and this is the training and development you'll get, South Australia with the future submarine shipbuilding will need thousands and thousands of specialised engineers and specialised welders and workers, there's employment opportunities in the building industry all over the place.
Beck, from your perspective, you're wearing lots of hats at the moment in the industry. What would you like to see over the next few years in terms of increasing how you think we can increase female participation in the industry?
I think there's already been said before about more education and understanding for parents of school students that a career in construction is not just an option for their child, but also an amazing career opportunity. I think there needs to be more opportunity for students to engage in demonstration days and be exposed to information regarding construction career paths and practical sessions in trade, so they can at the very least consider a career in construction.
Thanks, Beck, and I love that passion in that voice. Grace, what do you think we need to do over the next few years? Do we keep doing what we're doing and slowly see the creep up, which we have seen over the last 5 years, or do we need to do something more radical to see a significant escalation in the numbers?
I think we need to start talking earlier about the career options and the diversity in the options that, what's available out there. And then also to, I always say again to prospective apprentices, if you go to uni, you come out with a hex debt that you're going to be paid for, and you're lucky if in your first year you start earning $50,000, $60,000 a year. You go and do a trade course and you come out and you've been earning while you're learning. You probably bought yourself already a lovely ute and a jet ski or something like that by the time you're finished. And you come out and you're earning, $80,000 to $100,000 a year. So if it's all about money, that's it. But it's not just about money. It's about fulfillment. And it's about, if you like to be outdoors, you can find a job in construction where you're outdoors. If you like to be indoors, there's jobs in construction that are indoors.
I'm your guest host, Danita Warne, CEO of Master Builders Australia, and today's podcast is a special edition for International Women's Day. Thank you. And thank you, all of you, to Beck and to Michael and Grace. Really appreciate you joining us today. What I got out of today was really two streams of thought. One is about a great working environment and a good HR culture, and that should apply for anyone that works in our industry, regardless of their gender, that we will be a more attractive industry if we get our HR right and the way in which we work with people on our sites and in our offices and so forth, and that people will come to us if that is the case. So a really good message about how we are a sustainable industry is about implementing best practice in your business. And that was a really clear, distinct message out today. The other big one is about information at school level. We know it's simply not sufficient enough, whether it's to attract women or men into our sector, but more so women, that they actually are aware that there are job opportunities, and more importantly, that their parents feel comfortable they would like to seek a career in the industry. And finally, this support of one another, that mentoring, regardless of the gender, but helping each other with our careers and giving us that that confidence to excel in whatever we want to do, and the importance of mentoring. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Thank you again to Grace, Michael and Beck. And thank you all to our listeners on a special week of International Women's Day. Thank you.